Morning, everyone, and welcome to St George's and St Sire's, the benefit of CAM and Stinchcombe. Welcome to all those on Zoom, all those on Facebook, and especially those of you who've tripped up by accident on us or intend to stay. You are more than welcome, and we hope that you'll come back not only today, but through the rest of the week. It's a beautiful morning, and here we are at the end of Ascension Week, when we've remembered the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven, and we've reflected on that, what that means for all of us. So let's just pause for a second and just bring our thoughts before our Heavenly Father, and just remember the sacrifice that Christ gave for us, his ascension into heaven, and the promise that means for all of us when we eventually leave here and move into paradise. Let's just pause for a second. Okay, we begin by singing the hymn, "The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Forgiveness is at the heart of our Christian faith and is an important part, therefore, of our Sunday services. We do it right at the beginning. And I've been recently listening to the fact that Christians and non-Christians think that forgiveness is vital as the air we breathe. It brings us a new beginning. It is life-giving. So we're going to take a time now to say sorry to God, to ask God to forgive us. And then we need to forgive ourselves and then go on to forgive others. So let's not rush as we go through this part of our service. Let's take time to confess and to understand our forgiveness. It's vital to our well-being. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, and we confess to you our weakness and our unbelief. Like Mary at the empty tomb, we fail to grasp the wonder of your presence. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Like the disciples behind those locked doors, we are afraid to be seen as your followers. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Like Thomas in the upper room, we are slow to believe. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Before I say the collect for the day, we're going to have another pause, and pauses are important because this is the moment when we communicate with our Lord Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father. It's this moment when we bring all of our thoughts, the fears, anxieties, things we're afraid of that may happen tomorrow, the world around us, the situation we're in. So let's just bring all those heavy thoughts to our Father and place those at his feet. Risen, ascended Lord, as we rejoice at your triumph, fill your church on earth with power and compassion, that all who are estranged by sin may find forgiveness and know your peace, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And now we come to our first reading. It is from the Acts of the Apostles, and it's going to be read for us by James.
When the apostles had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were waiting, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, James, for those lovely words from the Acts of the Apostles. So now we have another hymn, the beautiful hymn, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say." Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. and now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We're currently, as Ken was saying, in the in-between time in the church's year between Ascension, which we celebrated in the church on Thursday, and Pentecost, which is coming next Sunday. And in some ways, therefore, my job as the preacher today is to say, a bit like a newspaper editor, hold the front page as we wait for that breaking, wonderful news of the Holy Spirit coming in a week's time. But actually, this Sunday's readings, I was looking at them and just really struck me this time how particularly clearly they speak into our current situation during this pandemic. And so this in-between time does, I think, have a special message for us this year. There are so many parallels between what is happening to us at the moment and the story we've just heard in Acts. Like us in the current lockdown, the disciples are left in a kind of limbo after Jesus' ascension, his return to be with his Father in heaven. We've been told to stay at home to protect the NHS and to save lives. They are told by the angels who appear as Jesus ascends to his Father not to stand around gazing at the sky. Instead, they must go home to Jerusalem and wait. Wait, in their case, for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that they will receive power from the Holy Spirit. Just as many of us have been greatly affected by the events of recent weeks, the disciples surely must have felt traumatized by Jesus' departure. After that extraordinary roller coaster of his public ministry, his death, his resurrection, suddenly their Lord has left them for a second time. Like so many of us with family members living elsewhere, and sadly, also like those whose loved ones have ended up in intensive care, dangerously ill with the virus, they've had to say goodbye to someone they love, not knowing when or if they will see him again. And like us, they also don't know when the time of waiting will end and when they'll be able to get on with the work that they need to do. Before he leaves them, they question Jesus about the timing. Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Like us, wondering when the pandemic will end or a vaccine will be found, whether we'll be going back to work soon or not for many weeks. They want a plan, don't they? A certainty, a timetable to get to grips with. And I'm sure a lot of us can identify with that at the moment. But Jesus doesn't give them certainty. He tells them it's not for them to know the times that God has set for the coming of his kingdom. And although he does tell them that the Holy Spirit is coming to empower them in the meantime, he doesn't actually say when it will arrive. There are, of course, signs that change is coming, that a new phase of their lives is about to begin. For of course, what happens, what is about to happen, is amazing. It is really the birth of the church. He says to them, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's an amazing thought for them at this stage. But it's not going to happen yet. For now, there is a pause, a time of watching and waiting for these new beginnings. And as the lockdown is eased a little bit, we too are hoping and wondering and thinking about the future. What will it be like? When can grandparents safely hug their grandchildren again? When will the churches reopen? What about dentists and hairdressers and theatres and all the things of normal life? Will some things have changed forever? And so I think it's especially important for us today to notice what the disciples do next in the story. They pray. Luke tells us in the Acts reading that the disciples go back to Jerusalem together with Mary, Jesus' mother, and his brothers, and that they all pray constantly. It's what we're invited to do too, especially in these days between Ascension and Pentecost. Traditionally, the church has always devoted these days of waiting to prayer, prayer for the coming of the Holy Spirit to inspire and guide us so that we can be Christ's body in the world, his witnesses in the world, carrying on the work that he asked those first disciples to do. And perhaps particularly this year, we can identify with the need to pray at this time, just to hold that sense of waiting and perhaps frustration, perhaps sadness and worrying and hoping, all those different emotions, all before God. Our gospel reading today sees Jesus in conversation with his Father, praying for the disciples the night before he dies. He asks God to protect them now that he'll be leaving them. And he talks about his close relationship with the Father and that the glory they both share, one of them in the world and the other beyond it. And he talks about asking God for things on their behalf, that idea that is so powerful for us, I think, of the Son interceding for us and with the Father. And this passage reminds us of what we are celebrating, what is so wonderful about the Ascension, because as Jesus ascends to his Father, he draws his humanity, which means our humanity as well, into the very heart of God. So the needs and the hopes and the fears of all of us are taken right to the throne of God. What a wonderful thought that is. It's so comforting to think that we are all therefore invited into that conversation with God that Jesus has. We can pray in so many different ways, as I'm sure you know. It doesn't have to be done in set prayer or even using a lot of words, although it might do. We should just pray in whatever way is most natural to us. What matters is communication and learning to listen to God speaking to us, as well as laying our own needs and worries before him. A conversation is always a two-way process, isn't it? And however we pray, we are assured that our Father listens to our prayers by that wonderful fact of the Ascension, that fact that we are being taken to the very heart of God. And so we know that through prayer, he speaks to us, he comforts us, and he shows us new hope and new possibilities. The disciples, we're told, prayed earnestly for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And as well as opening our hearts to God, we too can pray perhaps for that renewed sense of his presence with us, of inspiration and comfort for what lies ahead in the coming weeks. At this current time of waiting and worrying and hoping, we need prayer more than ever. Amen.
Let us just pause and reflect on Sophia's words, and especially that those about prayer. And let's just use this pause to speak and to communicate and listen to our Heavenly Father. So, going forth in faith, let us say the words of the Creed. We say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now we call on Mike to give us the prayers for today.
In his ascension, Jesus returned to the glory of God, and the lordship of Christ over the kingdoms of the earth was complete. The response to the words, "Jesus Christ is Lord," is "to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we pray for your church. Lord, be the ascended one in our church, where sometimes things of little importance can distract us from the few things of major importance. When our vision is small and our faith is thin, remind us again of your towering beauty reigning over all things. We ask that you will enrich our worship, empower our witness, and transform our service here in the world. May we have an ever-increasing openness to the leading of your Spirit and to the gifts which he longs to fill the lives of his people. We pray that your presence and power may be seen in everything we say and do together. Give your church here such a vision of your glory that nothing on earth can compare and nothing can tear us away from our faith. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In this time when we've been locked down and have come to know some of the challenges that that brings, we pray for those in prison, for those who are locked up within four walls because they have broken the law, and for those who are locked up within themselves because they are the victims of crime and hurt. We pray for those who are prisoners through their own dissatisfaction, either with life or with living, and for those who are afraid because they know that the door of their cell has been opened. May the Lordship of Christ give all who are imprisoned in any way hope and courage. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we pray for all those suffering as a result of the pandemic, for those who are ill with the virus, for their families and for those who treat them, for those whose jobs or businesses are being affected, or who have little or no income, or who are worried about the future. We pray for those whose world is bounded by their limitations of sight or of hearing, their health or their strength, for those who are blind to God's love and deaf to his call. We pray for those who allow their own finite minds and their lack of knowledge of him and his glory to limit their expectations of who he is and what he can do. May the lordship of the ascended Christ unlock the door to recovery and release us from our own limitations. We pray for those who are hungry for food for their bodies, and for those who long for their souls to be fed, for those who are thirsty for life that is real, and for those who are just thirsty and just long to live, for those locked out by a world that can read, and for those who are homeless and have nowhere to go, for those who are hurting and need someone to care for them, and for those who are lost and need to be found. We pray in the quietness of our own hearts or name out loud any we know to be in need of God's loving presence and his healing grace. May the Lordship of the ascended Christ hold them still. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Lord, be the ascended one in the community of nations. As the world is rocked by the current pandemic, we see nations turning to their needs, forgetting the vulnerable who will be worst affected by the virus and its aftermath, or blaming others. We see the world is in danger of running out of time to tackle the global warming and to save the planet from irreversible damage. And yet there's another reality. A new world has already broken in. Your kingdom is established just beneath the surface, and justice and peace are within our reach. Lord, help us to live in the old world and there proclaim your new kingdom. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We give thanks for the lives and example of those who have died in faith. We pray that we too may have that hope and certainty of resurrection through our faith in the risen Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, be the ascended one in our own hearts, for that's where the main struggle goes on. Be our Lord not in theory only, but in daily application. Be Lord of our values at work, of the way we relate to our closest family, of the way we spend our money, and of what we do when no one is looking. Be Lord of how we spend our time and how we treat others and how we approach difficult ethical issues. Be Lord of how we relate to the wider world and its needs, of how we sing and celebrate and enjoy the world's gifts. May we be able to say with joy, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord of the Church, hear our prayer and make us one in heart and mind to serve you with joy forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. And now I'll ask Fiona to lead us in the piece.
Hello. We might want to go on to gallery view, have a wave as we share the piece together. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia. The peace of the risen Christ be always with you. And also
with you.
Peace be with you. It's lovely to see you all in all your glorious homes, young and old alike, fantastic and smiling faces. Brilliant. Lovely to see you. Fantastic. We're going to end our service with the amazing hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. So if you haven't managed to start joining in singing, no one's listening. So go for it. And we'll praise our ascended, risen Lord in the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Well done for joining in, and just some notices as we come to the end of our service. We've added a prayer section onto the bottom of the order of service. We perhaps should have done that sooner, but we've got there. So if you know anybody who particularly needs our prayers at this time, please email that to me or to one of the other leaders. If you want to keep it confidential and you just want us to pray, then obviously we can do that. But if you have their permission, we can put their name on the notices. And so please do use that. I was in talking to a lady called Yvonne, who's been tuning into our services. She's part of the Sew for Gloucester initiative, and they're making scrubs and masks and various bags and things. All of that information is on the bottom of the notice sheet. But we talked also about making fabric hearts and giving them away. I particularly like to make some for Stinchcombe Manor. So if you are good at sewing, and I know some of you out there are, if you could make some fabric hearts, Yvonne's got some material if you need material, but you may find some around the house. And if you could make some, it's the idea of giving somebody a hug. And there's patterns also on the Facebook link, so you can knit them, crochet them, or sew them. And if you could maybe drop them off at the vicarage, I can get some to Stinchcombe Manor, and we can also give some to Yvonne for their initiative. But do have a look at that. Don't forget to join us for coffee after Zoom. The link is on the order of service. Thank you for those who signed up to the WhatsApp group for the St George's group. We continue to do that if you'd like to be part of the WhatsApp St George's, the social group. Bible study is this Wednesday. It's a time to pray and to look at God's word at 7:30. we're looking through the Gospel of Mark, but each kind of evening stands alone if you've never done it before and you'd like to find out, study God's word, do some praying together, then do join us for that on Wednesday at 7:30. As Sophia said, it's Pentecost next Sunday, and I'm excited to say that I will be inside St George's and doing communion. I might be on my own. In fact, I will be on my own, maybe with my husband, obviously filming it, which is allowed. But it's going to be a joy just to be inside and to bring communion from St George's. And then in the evening, I'm going to be in St Sire's and I'm going to be leading Evensong, slightly weirdly, on my own. But it will be a shortened version, and I won't put up with too much of my singing. But I'd like to honour both churches as we celebrate the birthday of the church. So I will be in St Sire's, and that'll be at 6 o'clock. I think that will just be on Facebook Live and YouTube. I'm not sure at the moment if we can Zoom that, but it'll be recorded for 6 o'clock. You'll be able to watch it on Facebook Live or YouTube at 6 o'clock. Next Sunday. Sophia has given us that inspiration to be in this waiting time and to be praying expectantly like the disciples were. And just to flag up Thy Kingdom Come, which you can download on your phone as an app. And I made the mistake of looking at some of that this morning, and the videos and the stories that are on here are inspirational and just cause you to go into prayer. So if that's a way in which you can be encouraged to pray during this waiting time, then I suggest you have a look at that on your phone. It's TKC in your app store, and you can download that and be inspired. And there's a morning prayer which you can do, but also there's just a general Thy Kingdom Come app, and it's full of inspirational stories. Tom Wright, who's an amazing theologian, is sharing some his thoughts about some scripture. Yeah, it's just really inspiring to sit and hear from various people through this time as Sophia encourages us to wait and to pray. I think that's it. I was going to go on to gallery view. And is that, I don't know if anybody done any drawing during this time. I didn't know whether Clara had done any drawing, but no, you've been watching and listening. That's lovely. We had an inspirational picture from Izzy, which I might show during coffee time, which was the Ascension. If you missed it on Thursday, it was a beautiful picture. Do join us for coffee so that we can share together in smaller rooms and have a chat. Birthdays. I've got the fact that it was Sarah Ford's birthday on the 17th of May and Wendy Jackson's on the 19th of May. Any other birthdays? Can we see any hands going up? None that anybody's going to confess to. If it has been your birthday, happy birthday. And we will sing later to Wendy and Sarah. Bless you. Over to Ken for the end.
Thank you, Fiona. If we just pause for a second before we have the blessing. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen. With the risen life of Christ within you, go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning. Thank you all. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you hopefully in the week. Thank you. Bye-bye.